Well, hey, everyone, this is Heidi St. John. Thank you for tuning in today. You have found me here at the intersection of faith and culture, and today I'm going to air part two of my interview with June Hunt. We're going to be talking about the issue of domestic abuse. As I said yesterday, this is a conversation that hits very close to home for me, and I hope many of you are encouraged. If you know someone who is struggling in an abusive relationship, being a dating relationship or a marriage, please pass this podcast on to them, because God's heart is not for women to stay in abusive relationships. Stick around. I think you're going to be encouraged. Before I jump into part two of today's interview, I want to let you know you can find this book. I'll link back to it in the show notes today. It's called Domestic Abuse. There's No Excuse for Abuse, and this comes from June Hunt's Keys for Living Library. June Hunt is a legend among those of us who have been in the broadcast world for any amount of time. She is a calming voice, and she is an authoritative voice on so many issues related to human relationships, and she tackles everything from a biblical perspective, and she knows the Word of God. At the end of this interview today, I will be coming back and sharing a little bit with you about my own story growing up and how God has been healing me and allowed me to go from a place of fear into a place of walking in faith with Jesus Christ. It's the reason why my husband and I are coming up on 34 years of marriage. And it's the reason, frankly, why marriages succeed at all is because we know the Word of God and we want to walk according to His Word. So I hope you guys enjoyed this part two interview with my friend, June Hunt.
Over and over, except it becomes more dangerous.
I agree. And this was absolutely, I don't talk about my own story very often. I wrote about it a little bit in a book that I published in 2017 called Becoming Mom Strong. Ooh. And just, you know, glimpses of sort of my life. But something that you said really resonated with me. And I think it's important for listeners, because there will be a lot of people listening to this who maybe they know of a family situation that's unhealthy or maybe even dangerous. And it can be easy to think, well, we'll just go in and confront the abuser. But something you said before really resonated with me, because this happened in my life over and over and over again. People would see it. They would confront my dad, and my dad would appear remorseful, or my dad would be embarrassed. Being embarrassed was the worst part about it, because when those people left, they felt like, okay, I did the thing. What we told them, you know, you're behaving badly. You shouldn't do, you know, A, B, and C. And when they would leave, there was hell to pay. And I mean it. And so I always tell people, you can't walk into an abuse. It's not as easy as everyone thinks it is. You can't walk into an abusive situation and make a course correction. It's like going into a hornet's nest and stirring up the hive and then walking away. And I know, because I think I know what you're going to say. For my mother, the only way to make that actually end was to leave. And when we left, we went to a safe house. We were escorted there by a police officer. We had to actually leave the situation instead of having someone come into the situation and try to get the abuser to understand. June, what is behind, what does an abuser believe? Because in so many respects, I think this was true for me growing up. My dad, who I think, you know, I loved my dad. He has obviously huge, huge issues. But he had a very different mindset and it was very hard to understand. How do you get into the mind of someone who's abusive like that?
It is vital. Thank you for asking that. That is a wise question. Because to understand where he is coming from and what she is thinking too, it's a hand in glove situation. She feels she must measure up, and he's angry because she's not measuring up to his expectations. He believes abuse is normal. Likely because he grew up in that. By the way, I did not know until a minimum of 10 years after my father died, his nephew came to my home, and his nephew is actually my mom's age, so it was kind of odd. But anyway, he said, And this was having to do with something else entirely, why he was there. But he was at my front door. He said, by the way, are you aware that your dad, as a boy, used to be at our house? Sometimes he would sleep at our house or sleep on a church pew. And I thought, you know, I wasn't
grasping it all. That's interesting.
I didn't even understand what that meant. And I said, no, I've not heard this. And I was trying to connect the dots, and I wasn't. And finally, he said, yes, his father would beat his mother. And then the kids would run and escape. And sometimes they would make it to our house. And other times, they couldn't get to our house. The kids would sleep on a church pew. Mm. And I went, no, I've never heard this at all. I went to my brother. I said, Braid, are you aware that the, and I repeated it better than hopefully I just now did. And he said, no, I've not heard this. And by the way, I remember thinking, what do I remember my father saying about his upbringing? What do I remember him saying about his own father? Not a word, not one word. That's not normal. Men like to talk about their dads. They like to tell stories. They like to, not a word. And I went to my two sisters, 4 and 5 years younger. They never heard him say one word about his dad. I went to some of the first family, his dad, my dad's first family, and told a few of them, are you aware of this? None of them knew this. Hmm. So my point is, and this goes along with what you're saying, I am confident that he thought it was normal of sorts. And especially that jealousy and possessiveness are characteristics of love. He was very jealous of, it wasn't necessarily other men. I mean, he just wanted all of mom's time. And so we were in the way as kids. So I was sent away to boarding school after I was beaten once, but only once. I was sent away every summer to camp. And it, you know, you would normally think, oh, how wonderful to go to camp, you know, as a teenager. Well, it's wonderful, but not if you are being sent away and you know you're being sent away because you're not wanted to be around. Sometimes men think beatings demonstrate caring concern. I'm beating you into submission to be, and some men, it's just, this is proving my masculinity.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
I have to always be in charge. And he was all in charge. I mean, no, we never had any say in anything. I mean, it was just all an unbenevolent dictatorship. And so he believed he had the right to control whatever the circumstance is. And the problem is the corollary to that. And that is where women, they can feel, based on their situation, that abuse is normal, that can be their normal, or that family problems are private so you don't ever talk. Now, that's classic.
That's so, that's how it was when I was growing up. Yep.
And that she must protect the family image. Mm-hmm. Is that what your mom thought?
Yes,
Phil?
Absolutely.
Husbands... you know, it's being a peace at all cost person. Mm-hmm. I'll do anything for peace. Now, I know that's where my mom was. She feels she doesn't have a biblical right to even separate. Even though, I'm going to throw this in right here, the Bible, if we look at the Bible actually says a hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. If you rescue him, you'll have to do it again. That's Proverbs 19:19. The Bible also says, Proverbs 22:24, do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Listen to this. Do not associate with one easily angered. So if you're not to associate, that means you have a biblical right to move out of harm's way if there is a dangerous situation. If there's any violence at all, it's not right in God's sight. So she doesn't know that, though. I mean, how many women do you know that even know these verses? But she believes that biblical submission in marriage permits abuse, because many times she's been told that you must submit no matter what.
Yep.
And she can believe that two parents in an abusive home is better than one healthy parent. Nope, there's no biblical position like that. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think she believes there's no one there to help her, that she won't. So she feels trapped, helpless, worthless. My mom, it just hurt me so much, because my mom felt shame. Even after coming to Christ. But there is an isolation aspect. There's feeling humiliated. And mother wasn't one to share what was really going on. I think she was emotionally exhausted.
Yeah.
And so, part of the reason, I think, for her was she may think a wife who's being abused could think, well, he's all I have, or he'll take the children. And the stigma of being by herself, you know, there are major, major issues. But every female in this situation, you know, God created her. She's a creation. And God has a solution that's right in his sight. So just allowing abuse is not healthy for the children. It's not healthy for her. It's not healthy for him, because it's unbiblical and he won't have the blessing of God.
It's true. And really, it's much more likely for children that grow up in homes like that to marry an abuser. You know, you continue the cycle of abuse. I have often said here at the show and in the many books that I've written and where I've talked a little bit about this, that I felt like it was God's mercy over my life that I did not marry a man who was similar to my own dad. And so it's another thing I always tell moms, think about the example that you're setting for your own children. You're letting your daughter know it's okay to stay. It's okay to stay in this relationship. Talk to the mom right now who's in an abusive relationship. And again, I mean, I think it's important for us to say, I'm not trying to give somebody an excuse to leave just because you're unhappy with your husband, or because he didn't load the dishwasher, or because he yelled at you one time. We're talking about systematic. We're talking about abuse. This is the real thing. What are the steps for breaking out of an abusive marriage? Because I know that there will be people who are listening to this who have a friend who's in an abusive marriage, or maybe there's a woman listening and she knows, June, that you're talking to her and her heart is breaking, and maybe her heart is pounding right now, and she doesn't know how to break out.
Understand that it's biblical to literally not yield to violence. There's not one passage that's right about in fact, the Bible says, bring to an end your violence and make the righteous secure. So what we see is there's a wrong belief that you could be believing, like, I'm to blame for not meeting all the needs. I'm believing what he has said, as opposed to the person who's being abused, because she thinks she's to blame because she's told it over and over and over. And the right mindset is, I am not to blame for his abuse toward me. See, nobody causes another person to be abusive. I'm not his piece of property to be used. I can choose whether I am willing to be around those who mistreat me, including my husband. If if I lose him, I will never lose Christ. Mm. The issue is he needs to be your source of security, and he will meet all your needs. The Bible says, your maker is your husband. The Almighty, the Lord Almighty is his name. But what we have in our material, we correct the wrong mindsets that are so prevalent and literally help people see what the Bible actually says. Like, for example, the wives submit to your husbands, I mentioned, but look at the context of that. It's submit one to another out of reverence for Christ. So you must look at the surrounding verses. One of the things that I ask pastors, give me your scriptures for accepting abuse. And they gave me in the former Soviet Union. And like the first one I got was turn the other cheek.
Mm, well, wow.
You know, therefore he means that you should submit to abuse. No, when you look at these words, the context of the issue is rejecting retaliation. That's what that's about. You know, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, turn the other cheek also. What he's saying is do not be vengeful. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, what we have to do is be sure to look at scripture in its context. I was told, well, Jesus submitted to abuse. And so if you want to be Christ-like, then you must also submit to abuse. No, if you'll notice, look at the number of times when Jesus, he had enemies and he knew it, and these enemies were seeking to kill him. So he eluded them. He escaped. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. So Jesus did not submit to abuse. The only time he ever did so was when it was time for him to go to the cross and to literally die on the cross for our sins. But what you see is how Jesus would go around Galilee, all these other things. So he wasn't just saying, oh, go on and abuse me, hit me, be violent toward me. So I think the issue for us is, what does God's word teach? Mm. What you see is, some will say, oh, well, but 1 Peter 2 says that we are to do unjust suffering. I remember unjust suffering because you're conscious of God. But that's what's the point. What is if you're being criticized, beaten for your faith, that's different than being literally
beaten because you exist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think the issue is to know what the Bible is truly saying. This is why I love our material on domestic violence, domestic abuse, because you have to begin with a new way of thinking about yourself. God loves you. He created you. Abuse is a sin against God's creation. And God did not create your husband to abuse you. So don't think abuse is normal either. Line up your thinking with God's thinking. And that's why the Bible does say, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your
mind.
You've got to have a new way of thinking. And therefore, understand the biblical mandate to hold abusers accountable. Abuse is, I'll say it this way, confrontation is biblical, according to the Bible. And we all need to be confronted if we are doing that which is wrong in the eyes of God. And that's why Proverbs 19:19 says, a hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. If you rescue them, you'll have to do it again.
It's a powerful thing to hear someone talk about this topic from a position of biblical authority, which is what you've just done for the last little bit that we've been talking. For those of you who are watching, I have June's book here. It is called Domestic Abuse, There's No Excuse for It. And I'm telling you what, if I had had access to this when I was a young girl, or if my mother had access to this, I think my life would have been different. And it brings me to tears thinking about it, because there are so many women in these situations, whether they're being physically abused or sexually abused, or daughters who are being abused by their fathers, this is not God's heart, is it, June?
No, and I wish I could have given, I wish I'd written the material for my mom to give. I resonate with what you wish you had done for your mom. I wish I had known what to do earlier.
Yeah, it's so important. June, where can people find you online?
Oh, we're just hopefortheheart.org. Hopefortheheart.org.
You're so, she's so quiet. Oh, we're just hopefortheheart.org. Never mind the fact that you've, how many radio listeners do you think you've had over the years?
I have no idea. I don't even know how to think about that.
It's got to be in the millions, I would imagine. You've been on the radio for a very long time.
Yeah.
And you, have you spoken at Harvard?
Well, yes. Interesting that you say that. Yeah, my sister, she actually invited me to speak at it's something called Core Connections that she was putting together because she was an ambassador. And then after that, after we had this conversation about her view of me and mother and all of a sudden she changed, and she couldn't believe she didn't understand that what was going on in our life was biblically wrong. See, she thought it was biblically right that for dad to do what he would do. And so she had me come and speak. And so I started this way. There were 200 leaders. They were all world leaders, women. And she said, you can invite two or three fundamentalists like you. And I said, thank you.
It's a fundamentalist. And so, if you mean that I adhere to the gospel fundamentally, then I guess you're right.
I said, well, I do believe in the fundamentals of the faith, but I'm really not called a fundamentalist.
Yeah, please don't call me a fundamentalist. Yeah.
So the bottom line is the few that I recommended, she was stunned at how intelligent they were and how capable. And so she had me to come anyway. So I started this way. I happened to be a Christian. I never say this. I happen to be a Christian, but I'm not expecting anyone else here to be one. But I want you to know, if you care about women who are abused, and there are people worldwide, 1 in 3 women are abused, I want to encourage you to take your pen, and I want you to, I'm going to give you what will help you help them. Because many godly people believe that they have no choice being abused, and so they don't want to go against God, and they don't want to go against God's word. So what I'm going to give you is what will help them. You will, if you care about those who are abused, you will be empowering them with truth. And so I gave all these scriptures, and the report that she got back from all of the evaluations, she couldn't believe.
These educated people.
But they, you know, they weren't Christians, but they were writing all these scriptures down. It was fabulous. So she used to have a very negative attitude toward me. And all of a sudden she tells me, she tells people about me frequently.
Well, you have the Holy Spirit change.
So
it just shines through you. And I heard you share that story about speaking at Harvard University one time, and I really took it to heart because the gospel changes people, and we shouldn't be ashamed of it. It is the power of Christ for salvation, first to the Jew and then everyone else who believes. June Hunt, you are a national treasure. I'm so thrilled and honored that you came on my show today, and I hope I get to talk to you again soon.
Well, I want to hug your neck over the line. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. I'll look forward to it.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on. For more information about today's guest, go to HeidiSt.John.com/podcast. Scroll down to the show notes, and I will link back to June's ministry today. If you haven't picked it up, for those of you who are on Rumble, by the way, I'm moving away from YouTube because I'm really tired of them kicking me off their platform. So I'm over on Rumble, but if you've not picked up her book, Domestic Abuse, I want to encourage you to do it. This is life-changing, and it's life-changing because it is the word of God on this topic. So I hope you guys will check that out. Thank you for listening. If you are subscribed to the show, stick around for happy hour. Everybody else, I will see you back here again at the intersection of faith and culture.